the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, good morning, good morning. I hope to be on the top of my game today. Had a little cold or something jumped on top of me yesterday. And I told my wife and told Big Rich this morning, I feel like I hadn't worked out in about 7 years, and I started yesterday and exercised every muscle in my body. You know what that feels like after you do that? That's what I feel like today. Got the aches and the pains. And so we're going to give you our best shot here this morning. Honored that you would join us. And what a crazy, crazy time to be alive. I went to bed in a, I don't want to say bad mood. I went to bed in a riled up mood last night. I did a radio interview. Somebody called and did a radio interview with me. And I wasn't a very good guest. I wasn't a very good guest. In fact, Rich, some people might say I was combative. And I was combative because a couple things that I've noticed. I don't know how this happened. Our kids really don't respect their elders anymore. They really don't. And I find some of the most arrogant people who are ages 19, 20, 21, 22, who think they know everything, have no respect for authority. I'm thinking back when my father-in-law, his last days on earth, he was a good old boy. And sometimes I didn't think Charlie was kind of up to snuff with the things that he was saying, but I always showed him respect. And I always, even when he said something that I didn't disagree with, I didn't argue with him. And that's not the way it is anymore. It isn't the way it is anymore. And you know, Jared said something to me before we went on the air. We have, for those of you who don't know, we get on here early and we have a good discussion here, stir things up a little bit before we get rolling. And Jared said something that I thought was pretty profound. He says, you know, I realize I'm nothing. I'm really nothing. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, in the overall scheme of things, goodness gracious, we've been here however many thousands of years, and there's how many of us here on planet Earth, and just think of how all the mechanisms work, and what would happen if the grid went down, and what would happen if we didn't have any water, and what would happen if, on and on and on. He didn't say that. I'm just playing it out in my head. And to think that Almighty God sits in the heavens and is focused totally and completely on me and my needs, I believe that's a horrible misteaching. I'm just sorry. I just think it is. Now, I know this, that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of me. And so I have been, as the Bible says, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives within me. The life I live by the grace of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. But the truth is, if we would really just look at it, we're nothing. We are so insignificant that he told us to die. Die to yourself. Die to your dreams. Sell everything you have. Follow after me. He says, when you do that, then you're connected. Then you're really, really connected. But the message that we're getting from our local churches, that's not the message we're getting. The messages we're getting from our church is the whole purpose of Christianity is to make the individual happy. That's it. And so I was on the show last night. I was having a conversation with the guys, the three of them that were interviewing me, and the subject of abortion came up. And I could not believe what I was hearing coming out of their mouth. And you know what it is, JR? Well, who are you to judge? Who am I to judge? It's not my place to tell them. So I said, listen, you ever been to an abortion clinic? You ever been to an abortion clinic? Why don't you come with me? Come with me to the abortion clinic. These are young guys. No, I don't feel called to go there. Well, you don't feel called? I'm called, but you're not called? Can you tell me anywhere in the Bible it says that you're not supposed to, that you're not called to go rescue those who are unjustly led to slaughter? That you're supposed to lay down your life for the women's and for the women, widows and orphans? What the heck are you talking about? It's not your job. Well, it's not my place to judge. Like, what's being taught in our churches? What is being taught? You know, Rich said before we went on the air, it's cowardice. It's cowardice. People do not want to stand up and speak the truth because they know there is going to be pushback. And they don't want to have to deal with it. They don't have to answer it in their churches. They don't have to answer it from their peer group. They don't want to have to answer it. And so we are going to have to come to the realization, which I have come to the realization. Hey, folks, this Bible, this book is either true or it is not. It's either true or it's not. And I don't care which one you decide, but if you decide it's true, then why the hell don't you act like it is? If you believe the Bible is true, does the Bible apply just to you or does it apply to the whole world? The biblical principles. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about can following the theories and rules and regulations and ideas in the Bible make even the unsaved live a better life? Yes or no? Sure it would. Unto us a son is born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, with his government comes peace, there shall be no end. But we have compartmentalized Christianity inside the church box and private prayers and our prayer groups and our Bible studies. But for the most part, the influence of Christianity outside of the church is almost minimal. Somebody give me a thumbs up on it. Just, you know, you don't have to agree with me. Just so I'll feel better. And I drive down the road sometimes and I say to my wife, I don't know how she stays married to him, to be honest with you. I say to my wife, if that church, we're driving by a church, and I point at that big church, said, honey, if that church closed, would there be any impact in this community at all? Other than the people that go there, would we feel the impact of that church closing? And the sad truth of it is we wouldn't. We wouldn't. Because most of us live out our faith only in the church and in the privacy of our home. Somebody give me another thumbs up. That'd been a good place to do it right there. And so the scripture that says, go ye into all the world, the scripture that says you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, that scripture means absolutely nothing to the modern American church. And what we try to do in the modern American church is go get people saved. Well, that's very, very noble, except that's not what we're supposed to do. The Bible says he who wins souls is wise. I understand that. And we should try to get people saved, but that is not the focus of the gospel. It's the gospel of the kingdom of God. That our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, hey guys, how many times do you see they ask Jesus, teach us to pray, and isn't it amazing, what did he pray? That my will would be done, and my kingdom would come in earth. That was his prayer. And we live in a culture and a society today where Christianity and Christian thought and Christian ideals and Christian views are poo-pooed and put off to the side. And then we have to listen to homosexuals like Rachel Maddow give us the truth. Hey, Kyle, right-wing watch. You listen, I'm going after her today, bud. Stay right there where you are. Get your pen out. We become a nation of fools. Become a nation of fools. We become so foolish because of some of the misteaching in our churches that we no longer, we are able, dare I say it, to justify away this Bible. We can justify it away. Oh, well, that was just meant for us. No, no, no. Thou shalt not kill, that applies to the lost people too. Thou shalt not steal, that applies to the lost people as well. Thou shalt not lie, why, that applies to the lost people as well. The Christian values, as we talked the other day about the ethics, the ethical values that we all used to share in America anymore, we don't share anymore. Because there is no common foundation on which these things are built on. Because there's no common foundation upon which these things are built, anything goes. And we've been supplanted. A coup has taken place. Not only has the government become God, but science has become the savior. And the problem we run into with that is now we're finding out that science is bought and sold, bought and paid for. The millions and millions and billions of dollars are being funneled into scientists to study issues. And if they want the money to keep coming, then they are going to, dare I say it, they are going to tilt their science to prove the hypotheses that their donors want proven. Thumbs up. That's a good place to put thumbs up. Can you get any money from the federal government if you want to go out and prove creationism is true? Any money out there for you? No, I don't think so. Can you get any money from the government if you want to go out and try to prove that global warming is a fraud? Man-made global warming is a fraud. Get any government money available for you? No, I don't think so. So if I'm a scientist and I'm studying global warming, I better find some evidence that shows it's still there so that the donors will say, oh, well, he's on to something. Let's give him some more money. Can you find any evidence? Any evidence? Any evidence that a homosexual is born that way? Any evidence at all? I don't think so. Can you find any evidence out there that supports proof of the Big Bang Theory? Any evidence at all out there? No. And all four things that I just mentioned, I think it was four of them, the average Christian has bought hook, line, and sinker. And we've bought it. We're so stupid that we don't understand that we have bought into somebody else's ethics, somebody else's values, and the values that used to be in the church of truth and justice in the American way, no longer. That salt of the world has infiltrated the church, and now the church holds the same ethical standards as the world. They lied to us. What's the Bible say? Our prophets prophesy lies, and the people like it that way. Every human being that you run into during your daily walk, every human being is a soul, every one of them, every one of them. But we don't tend to look at it that way. We tend to look at it from the physical standpoint, the bodily standpoint. Feel like a girl today, right? Well, I don't care what the science say. It doesn't matter. Because as our friend Chad says, your emotions betray you. So we've reached a point in America where we don't operate anymore by proof. We operate based on emotions. I've been getting beat up. It's not beat up. I'm getting a lot of attention from Right Wing Watch and Daily Coast and a lot of them because I've been coming out hard and speaking the truth. And we'll say this again, and I hope Right Wing Watch gets this. We'll say this right now. I said last week that you'd be a fool to listen to anything Rachel Maddow says. I said that last week, and you made fun of me, and you wrote an article, and you posted it and sent it out through all the leftist blogs, and I Googled it and had articles everywhere, and I told you last week, 2 weeks, whatever, go, shouldn't listen to anything that woman says. And so they email me, and they say, well, Rachel Maddow's a Rhodes Scholar. So? She don't even know how plumbing works. She doesn't even, JR, can you pull that picture back up there again? Maybe we can shoot that thing up there, if you can. She doesn't even, or was it Jared, whoever had that picture up there. She doesn't even understand how plumbing works. The most basic thing that my 5-year-old granddaughter understands, Rachel Maddow doesn't understand. Shoot this up there, Greg. All right, Jared, let me do it. I know you can't see this, folks, but those of you who are watching, you can see it. The ones who are listening, it's a picture of a little boy and a little girl, 5 or 6 years old, pulling their panties back and looking down at their private parts. And the little boy says, our settings are different. And the little girl says, yes. I got to put my glasses on here. Yes, you are equipped with Wi-Fi antenna, and I have a USB port. But Rachel Maddow can't figure that out. She thinks Bruce Jenner is a woman. Now, folks, hey, folks, come on, come on. Come on. And she's on TV, and she impacts hundreds of thousands of people on stuff that just absolutely is not true. And who calls her out on it? Does anybody call her out on it? No, doesn't happen very much, does it? So one of the goals, one of my targets, one of the things I want to do is try to poke holes in the lies that the enemy is telling us that we in the church are absolutely accepting as truth. Hey, boys and girls, listen to me here. There is absolutely no proof of macroevolution. I talked about this the other day. There's absolutely no truth. There's just as much proof that God created the earth as a Big Bang. Just as much. It's all theory. But in your church and your school, more particularly, in your school, local school, they teach Big Bang. They don't teach Christianity. And the majority of people in your school district probably believe in creationism, and it's not even welcome inside the door. And so we look around at the spectrum of what's going on, and it's all come down to one thing. We are no longer teaching or speaking the truth. We're teaching lies to our children. Let me pause right there. Jump in here. Somebody want to. How long did that? 15 minutes. That didn't take long. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to wake up and do something about it. Are you up, Raj?
Yep. Dave?
Yeah.
I don't know if it is so much. I think what you have in the pew, what you have with the end of families are so busy. They are focused on a lot of different things, jobs, money, mortgage. I think a lot of people share these views, but they are individually shared amongst their own family. There's never a gathering, and that's where the Christians fail. There's never a gathering of 2,500 Christians for anything. The opposition gathers. So not everybody in the pew just is buying this stuff hook, line, and sinker. They sit there and they understand we're in trouble, but they never gather as a body of people to do anything. It's an individual complaint, and they exercise it on November.
Yes, but go ahead, JR.
Do you stop? I mean, you gather in church, don't you? Don't you gather in church? And isn't that a great opportunity to expose that information?
Oh, that's the only place they're gathering.
Yeah, well, that's where it should happen. The pastor.
That's right. And is I don't know whether it's intentional, where the pastor doesn't know what he should feed him or he doesn't want to feed him. I see both sides of it. I see both sides of it. I got to speak in Wisconsin on Sunday. A church opened the door for me, believe it or not. And I'm going to tell you something. It was edgy. What I spoke about Sunday morning was edgy, but every bit of it was supported by Scripture. Every bit of it. And so we don't understand. I'm going to show you some stuff here. I'm heading someplace. Stay with me. Jared, let's get in Galatians 6, if you would. Galatians 5. I want to share what's happened to us. Galatians 5. Let's begin in verse 15, 5:15. Wish Tim was here with us this morning. He's probably laying in bed listening to us. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. I want you to see something here. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, here's what we've got. And this has happened to us in Christian America. We have the division of flesh and spirit. Do you see this? And most people that we see are walking totally and completely in the flesh. That's why they're lost. They think they're just fleshly. They're a spirit, lives in a body, possesses a soul. They have a soul. And Paul's trying to tell us here that we need to combine the two and allow the spirit to take control of the body. Hey, JR, do you think that's taught at all in schools? Do you think that idea of a soul and a spirit, do those kids in school have any idea of this most basic of Christian teachings?
Chia.
Chia?
Yeah, Mother Earth.
Yeah. Spirit. Right. So no, they don't. They don't, right?
Right.
So Paul says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, there's a battle. There's a battle going inside of us, see? And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Well, you certainly can't do the things that you would if you don't know what they are, if you're not aware of them. So then somewhere along the line, we permitted the public schools to teach only about the physical and to totally and completely remove the spiritual. I think it was John Adams, Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt said that to educate a man, and not to educate him in morality is to educate a menace to society. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. So Paul says, if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now he says, here's how you recognize when you're in the flesh. Tell me if this is your public schools. Tell me if this, for the most part, is what we're dealing with in Christian churches as well. Because the works of the flesh are manifest, obvious. You can see them. And they're these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, meaning no control, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like of that which I tell you before, as I've told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They have just given you a roadmap of the natural body unrestrained by the Spirit. And if you think about this, boys, what is the majority of our health care focusing on? Dare we say it? Idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and variance and emulations and wrath and strife and seditions and heresies and envyings and murders and drunkenness and revilings and of such like. The people are physically sick because they don't understand that they're a spiritual being, that they don't understand that there's this other side of them that's supposed to be controlling them. And we look into our medical world, our society, and we see people are running around living their lives unrestrained, without any restraint at all in what they do, nothing at all. And we wonder why we have health care issues. Can you imagine how few health care issues we had if we had some moral care? If we trained people? See, listen, you don't have to be a Christian to be taught to respect your elders. You don't have to be a Christian to be taught not to lie. You don't have to be a Christian to be taught not to steal. You don't have to be a Christian to be taught not to commit adultery. You don't have to be a Christian to do all that stuff. And as a result of all that stuff, and nobody putting any restraints on our kids and teaching them the truth, our medical costs are out of control. Why? Because all of these things we're talking about lead to physical problems. Ounce of cure is worth a pound of prevention, or something like that. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. We see all this arguing going on in the healthcare world, and all, trying to redo Obamacare and doing this and doing that. And how about this? Why don't we do health? First of all, get rid of the damn healthcare. It's not the government's job. But how about this one? How about we charge insurance based on risk pools? If you engage in homosexual sex, your health insurance is high, baby. You want to do that, you go ahead. You smoke cigarettes, you got a high payment and a high deductible. You're going to do that kind of stuff? If you're running around sleeping with every Tom, Dick, and Harry, your insurance premiums are going to be higher than mine. We do it in car insurance. Teenagers have to pay more. They're called high risk. But see, what we want to do is we want to be able to see the human body unrestrained doing whatever the heck it wants to do, and then have me pay for it when they go do something stupid that makes them sick. We've been lied to, see? And nobody wants to stand up and tell the truth. Nobody does. The church doesn't want to stand up and say it. No, the church is out there. The church is for health care, for heaven's sakes. It's for health care. Our family, we're part of a health care co-op called Samaritan, where I have to pledge I'm not going to be drinking, and I'm not going to be smoking, and I'm not going to be running around on my wife in order to be part of it. And our health care insurance isn't exorbitant because I'm not as high risk. I take care of my body. Let me continue on here. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. A lot of these guys wouldn't be getting sick if they kept their USB plug in their pants. Somebody do this. But see, we won't go there, will we? As my friend JR says, we love to treat symptoms. We don't want to treat the cure. See, the cure is we are living and walking in an immoral society, and the church is supposed to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. The church is supposed to impact everything it comes in contact with, and the lies have infiltrated the church, and the church believes exactly what the world has told them. Now, guys, this is so easy. This Bible says that homosexuality is an abomination. So it says, don't let your emotions get involved and say, well, I know Timmy and Joey and they're really nice boys and they just love each other. That's good. Good. Still an abomination. It's still a violation of the laws of Almighty God. In fact, boy, there's a lot of sicknesses associated with that behavior. A lot of them. Here you come, right wing watch. And I would say this, that there was a day in America not too long ago where that was considered a mental illness. A mental illness. Not anymore. Because the church now thinks it's a lifestyle choice. Church does. Making Jesus a liar. Romans 1, go there real quick just so you understand. Just Old Testament, New Testament, sodomy, all that. Hey, boys, this ain't hard. This ain't hard. Romans 1, going down there, Jared. Let's see. Let's start at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened, and professing themselves to be wise, they became like Rachel Maddow and got a Rhodes Scholarship, and now can't even tell the difference between a man and a woman. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made unto corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creepy things, where all God then gave them over to vile affections, gave them over to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves. And they changed the truth of God into a lie, worshiped and served themselves more than they did the Creator. And then for this cause, God said, okay, dudes, I'm going to give you over to that vile affection. For even in their women did change the natural use into which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another. Boys, what could that possibly be talking about? And the church has accepted what Paul tells us is a judgment. We ordain them. We put them on TV shows, news programs. Because if we stand up and say anything against them, they may not get saved. Revelation 21:8, Jared. See, they say, well, Coach, I don't believe the Bible. Well, that's okay. That's cool. I believe it. And we need a set of ethics and standards by which we're all going to live. And we say that ain't okay. That ain't okay for you to do that. Don't expect me to pay your insurance. Verse 21:8, Revelation 21:8, Jared. Verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, you don't believe what the Bible says. You don't believe what God said. You do not believe what God said. So that tells me that you're in just as big a trouble as the guys who couldn't care less. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You either believe the Bible or you don't. And as our friend Chad says, your emotions will betray you. So we're taught in church what? To hate evil? Huh? To have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them? Is that what we're taught in church today? Or are we taught to invite them all in, love them all, and let's get them all saved? Is that what we're taught? And see, here's what happens. I'm feeling this today, boys and girls. I don't know if you can tell this or not. What happens when the most loving thing I can do is time to stand up and tell somebody the truth? It's the most loving thing I can do to stand up and tell them the truth. And I'm called a hater. And I'm called a hater and judgmental by those on my own team. Can I tell you why? Because they don't believe it. They go to church, but they don't believe the word. They believe some lie that somebody told them, some vain imaginations, some rudiments of the world, some philosophies of men. That's what they believe. Philosophies of men that tell them that they were born that way. I'm not trying to pick on homosexuals. I'm sorry that that came up. Let's talk about drug users. Should my health insurance have to pay for a drug user? Guy goes out and shoots heroin in his eye, I'll have to pay for that? Are you kidding me? See, we are being forced governmentally by the church as well to pay for self-destructive behaviors. That I pay the same rate as some dude is shooting heroin every night. I pay the same rate. Or better yet, he don't pay at all. But I pay. Because I got a job and I work and I got a decent living. And so, well, we got to take care of the downtrodden. Really. Really. Well, let's get him in there and let's get him in a Christian program and make him follow it. You said, well, coach, you can't do that. You can't force religion on anybody. That's right. So they don't get any health insurance in. They don't get any health insurance. Hey, Rich, you worked with those offenders. Rich, is there any program that's going to help them other than the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is there anything that's going to transform the heart of a man other than the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why doesn't the church push that through? Why doesn't the church push that through? Oh, I know why. We're just passing through, aren't we? This whole show is probably going to get banned on YouTube. Let me get it up here. Hey, Jared. You boys are quiet. It's quiet out there today. It's all right. Hey, Jared. I want you to pull up the commercial, Jared. Let's see if my computer just shut down on me. Here we go. Pull up that commercial, Jared. Oh, yeah. Are you ready for this, boys? Are you ready for this? This commercial, this shows you how far we've fallen. This was a public service commercial that was played in the 1960s. Ain't that long ago. That's when I grew up in the 1960s. I want you to think about it. I'd never even heard of a homosexual when I went to college in 1971. I'd never even heard of one. And now, in 2017, they're everywhere. Why are they everywhere? I'll let you try to figure that one out. This was a government-paid public service commercial back in the 1960s. It's a minute and a half. Watch this.
It looks innocent enough, doesn't it? Lots of young people hitchhike. Seems like a good way to get from one place to another. But sometimes there are dangers involved that never meet the eye. So no matter where you meet a stranger, be careful if they are too friendly. One never knows when the homosexual is about. Let's take the case of Jimmy Barnes. Jimmy played baseball all afternoon, and he didn't feel like walking home, so he decided to thumb a ride. He'd done it 100 times before. He didn't think anything was unusual when the driver struck up a friendly conversation. In fact, he seemed like a real nice guy. What Jimmy didn't know was that Ralph was sick, a sickness that was not visible like smallpox, but no less dangerous and contagious, a sickness of the mind. You see, Ralph was a homosexual, a person who demands an intimate relationship with members of their own sex. So no matter where you meet a stranger, be careful if they are too friendly, if they try to win your confidence too quickly, and if they become overly personal. One never knows when the homosexual is about. He may appear normal.
Is that unbelievable? Huh? That was a public service. There's one on there. There's another one on there. It's about 10 minutes long. I couldn't believe it. Now the underlying point is they're talking about not homosexuality, they're talking about pedophilia. Back then, they associated homosexuality with pedophilia. Back then. Right? Somebody jump in here while I search over here.
Coach, part of the problem is, too, is in the church we've become idol worshipers. We yes. place the person who is in charge in a position where we worship them. And so whatever they say or do, we worship that. And so we accept it. We've dumbed ourselves down to believe in idols and people who hold a position of power as an idol. I mean, look at the worship we have for movie stars, celebrities. They don't know what the hell they're talking about, but yet we worship them. We pay big bucks to watch their movies and everything. It's us. It's our own fault. We are not critical in our thinking, and we have mush between our ears.
We do. The church reinforces it, Michael. That's the point I'm trying to make. I expect the devil's kids to act like this. I don't expect Christians to act like this. Go ahead, JR. Hang on. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
It's idol worship. That's all I'm trying to say.
It's idol worship.
You spell that idol, I-D-L-E?
You could. you could for sure. JR posted over here, John Adams said, our second president, it's the duty of the clergy to accommodate their discourses to the times, to preach against such sins as are most prevalent, and recommend such virtues as are most wanted. For example, if exorbitant ambition and venality are predominant, ought they not warn their hearers against those vices? And if the public spirit is much wanted, should they not inculcate this great virtue? And if the rights and duties of Christian magistrates and subjects are disputed, should they not explain them? Show their nature, the ends, the limitations and restrictions of how much soever it may move the gall of Massachusetts. If you water a seed, it will grow. It is the duty of the pastors to quit teaching you about how you can be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and teach you to rise up as a member of the army of God, the family of God, and fight and push back against the unfruitful works of darkness. And we have stopped that. We are not doing that. And look out the window. Healthcare costs are out of control. See, God's laws work for the reprobate, too. And when they tell you that you can't legislate morality, they're sure doing a great job of legislating immorality, aren't they? They sure are calling good what is evil and calling evil what is good. They're certainly doing a great job of that. And not only are the wicked doing that, the pastors are going right along with them. Going right along with them. We don't judge. We don't judge. Well, find another line of work, Chief. Find another line of work. Okay, I'm going to show you something here that you didn't know. That's why you tuned in here. You didn't know this. Hey, Jared, pull up grids. Grids. I'm talking about health care today. I'm talking about health care. Hey, let me find somebody that's more loving than me. Hey, George, do you think your health care costs ought to be as high as a practicing homosexual?
No.
Why? You hate him?
Hey, coach.
Are you hateful and bigoted? Is that why, George?
No. You know, coach, sounds like right ring watches listen every day. They ought to go with the facts and at least
That's all I'm saying.
Homosexuals don't live long. They don't live as long. I mean, there's just facts about it that hey, if they're going to be non-biased, that they ought to at least start looking at that.
George, that's my point. They're not. Hey, do you really think that a race car driver, a NASCAR race car driver, and I ought to pay the same premium? Are you kidding me? Do you think I ought to pay the same health premium as a NFL football player? Are you kidding me? Shouldn't the occupation you do, the lifestyle that you live, have something to do with the bill that you have to pay in regarding your health care? How stupid are we?
Coach, can I say one more thing?
Yes.
Would you train your granddaughter, beautiful child, I saw the pictures of her, would you train her to go play in the garbage pit or to walk in the sewer barefoot and play around with stuff floating by in the sewer? That's what we're doing with homosexuality. We're talking about the sewer.
That's right.
We're not talking about love. We're talking about a sewer. And that's where everybody has gone wrong. We got the wrong image in our mind.
You get sick in that sewer, don't you, Mike? You get sick.
Absolutely. I've I've been around people that are sick because they are in the sewer.
Yeah, that's right. And it's not just homosexuality. It's a free love. It's fornication of all types. I'm sorry to make this about a homosexuality, but that to me, that is the crucible that the church crossed when the church began to accept that debaucherous, abnormal behavior. when we opened the door and permitted that to be acceptable, Katie barred the door. Boy, right wing watch is going to get this one. Okay, so I'm going to show you here. Excuse me. Yes.
Hey, you know, my mom used to always say what is tolerated in one generation is accepted in the next.
Wise woman and, right there.
You know, it makes me wonder because it's what we've seen just in my lifetime with the homosexual agenda and the church. It's broad acceptance, but it makes me wonder what's being tolerated now. What is going to be accepted 20 years from now? It's going to be another detriment to the church's ability.
Well, you can go there, Weave. What? You can go there. Yeah. It'll be multi-partners, be married to two people, three people, marry your daughter, marry your son, marry your animal. We laugh about it, but come on. This is clearly where we're heading without a set of ethics. Clearly where we're heading. And it's sad that we do not glorify drug use. We do not glorify alcoholism. We don't glorify pedophilia. We don't glorify, pick whatever sin it is. We don't glorify it. We understand that it's part of life. We know that it's out there in the dark and danky places. We know that. But we don't honor it and bring it out of the closet and parade it. We don't do that. What's happened with homosexuality? Lies. I'm going to play something for you. Ready? Ready? You didn't know this. I go into schools and I'm telling you, this may get banned. This one may not make it on Facebook. May not make it on YouTube. Did you know that AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome, do you guys know that when it first came out, it was called GRIDS? How many of you knew that? GRIDS? GRIDS? Gay-related immune deficiency syndrome. And you know that they changed it from GRIDS to AIDS because why? The homosexual lobby screamed and hollered about it. And they can tell you what they want to, and they can make up as much fake science as they want to. The truth of the matter is AIDS, even though it has crossed over into the heterosexual population, it has crossed over only because men went out on their wives and then brought it home to their wives. Homosexuality, AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome, was originally GRIDS, and it is a sexually transmitted disease that is running rampant in the homosexual community. And do you have any idea the health costs associated with that, baby? Huh? Well, that's pretty risky behavior, isn't it? Pretty risky behavior. Jared, go ahead and play that. It's only about 4 minutes. It says GRIDS on it.
Cure is going to require some very tricky and sophisticated molecular biology, and I frankly don't see it happening.
Ever?
Ever.
The National Center for Disease Control is reporting more cases of two rare and deadly diseases found in homosexual men. There is no apparent explanation for the outbreak.
How can we stay unemotional when people are dying every day from a disease the CDC has yet to name? For crying out loud. If the CDC won't name it, at least demand the press stop calling it GRID.
Well, unfortunately, I have to take credit for coining the term GRID, which stood for gay-related immune deficiency. We were seeing a cluster of gay men who were suddenly critically ill of pneumocystis pneumonia, which was the indicator disease of something new, and reported our findings to the CDC.
The evidence shows that this disease is not merely confined to the gay community. I motion to call the disease acquired immune deficiency syndrome, AIDS.
In 1982, Dr. Harry Habercost was one of the Centers for Disease Control's epidemiologists tasked with defining AIDS.
AIDS refers to a syndrome, and its definition changes periodically.
AIDS is a chronic disease. It's based on its immunodeficiency.
AIDS is not a disease, right? AIDS is a whole lot of different things. Depends on what country you're in.
When your CD4 count falls below a certain arbitrary level, by definition, you have AIDS. you know, when someone's count goes down and then it goes back up again, it's, you know, politically they may still have AIDS. Medically, I don't think they do.
If you develop any of a number of opportunistic infections or diseases, that puts you in the category of AIDS.
We don't even know what AIDS is. AIDS is so hard to define because they change the definition of it every year.
The definition of AIDS has broadened over time. It was revised in 1985, and then again in 1987.
The changes in the definition have been political. Every time they change the definition, the numbers go up.
The definition has changed many times. The biggest change was probably in 1993. Which they then, you know, added the CD4 count and HIV, and, you know, so you could not even be ill, but if you had a CD4 count consistently below 200, you now had AIDS.
A closer look at the Centers for Disease Control's documents reveals that AIDS numbers actually declined in 1993, but a retroactive definition change increased the estimates by more than 100%.
The more diseases they could lump into this AIDS syndrome, S stands for syndrome, the better the chances are they get patients under that umbrella, the more patients they could catch.
As time goes along, you know, definitions get used for a variety of issues, and some of those are not based solely on scientific decisions, but politics and capitalism and reimbursement comes into play.
Politics, wow. Insurance, capitalism, benefits, you can be sick or healthy. I never would have thought that AIDS was so convoluted.
Right, right. Well, as I said, that has changed. How you define that scientifically has changed quite often, which just makes it difficult to, you know, for the lay people to understand. It makes it difficult for me to interpret the numbers.
So there you go. They changed the meaning of AIDS for political reasons. They said it two different times. Now, I always thought this was interesting, that AIDS was, although it was gay-related immune deficiency syndrome originally, isn't it amazing that now it's acquired? Acquired. Hey, Rich, how do you acquire it? If you acquire something, am I going to acquire it in a monogamous relationship with my wife? Am I going to acquire it doing that? Mm-hmm. If she's monogamous and I'm monogamous, are we going to acquire AIDS?
They are cross-pollinating death.
Say that again. The cross-pollinization of death. And their medical costs are skyrocketing.
I'm going to acquire it in a monogamous relationship with my wife.
Yes, Sarah.
On the side over here, I wrote, I was asking about the HPV, if you understand that new vaccine.
Right.
And how now it's for cervical cancer. Females have cervixes. Males do not. But now they're giving it to boys. But the thing is that they're saying, oh, because they can pass the disorder. But they have discovered it helps prevent certain anal cancers. Now, why would a boy need anal cancer preparation or preventativeness? I think it goes along with what you've been talking about.
The cure is the gospel. The cure is gospel and godly values as ethics. As part of our society, that's secure. That's secure. And the church won't hold that one up. Okay, I'm going to show you one more thing.
The church will not tell the consequences of sin anymore. We don't tell anybody what the consequences of adultery, all of those things that are involved in sin. We don't tell them the consequences because that's all part of God's plan. I mean, if you're packing fudge, you're going to have problems somewhere along the line and not very far away.
Brother. But they ought to have the same insurance rates as me and you, though, huh? All have the same insurance rates. See, we don't have the political will to do what's right. We don't have the political will to do the truth. If a guy wants to have sex with another man, his insurance rates ought to be higher. That'll make Right Wing Watch, and I'll get 1,000 emails. If a man is having anal sex with another man, his insurance rates should be higher. Does anybody disagree with me? If I'm an astronaut flying to the moon, my insurance rates ought to be higher. More likelihood I'm going to get sick. More likelihood.
You know, a lot of this boils down to bottom line thinking. Bottom line thinking on this whole area can start with the eradication of the natural family structure in our society. Because families used to take care of their elderly sick, not expecting an insurance company to pay for it. Of course, insurance companies they're like governments. They don't have any money of their own.
That's right. That's
insurance
right.
Companies steal that money from other people to give to people that don't have.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
And people voluntarily give up their money to the insurance company too, just on the chance that maybe down the road they need that insurance company to steal somebody else's money to give them. What a stupid.
So guys, a couple years ago, I got a little bit of delay here today. I don't know what it is. I had to have some prostate surgery about 5, 6, 7, I don't know, long time ago. And I didn't have insurance. And so I went into the doctor and I said, hey, listen, doc, I'm a self-pay guy. Can you cut me a break? And he says, oh, yeah, sure, sure. He says, listen, you have to go talk to my office girl. She can tell you that. So I said, okay, thanks. Scheduled the appointment when I was going to have the surgery. And went down. Rang the bell at the little desk. I said, can I speak to the billing girl, the billing agent, whatever. She comes walking out of the back room. Can I help you, sir? I said, yeah, listen, I just spoke to Doc, and I'm going to have this laser. I can't remember what it was, this laser surgery that yada, yada, yada. And I'm self-pay. I'm wondering if you can cut me a break. And she says, oh, yeah, we sure can. Give me just a second. She went back and got their chart and came back out. She says, we'll do that for you for $500. I said, wow, cool. All right. I'll write you a check, $500. And then I said, I don't want to be nosy, but could you tell me what I would have to pay if I had insurance? She says, well, we would charge you the Medicaid rate. I said, well, what's that? She said, we'd charge you $2,000. We have to charge $2,000 to get our $500. How about that one, huh? That's going on all across. See, I go back. I remember the day vividly when my mom, I was like 7, 8 years old, when my mom started taking all of us to the dentist. My dad worked as a factory worker at Kaiser Aluminum here in Ohio. And I said, Mom, why are we going to the dentist? Because there were 5 of us. We're all piled in the car heading to the dentist. I haven't been to the dentist ever that I can remember. She says, oh, well, your father got dental insurance at work. It's free. There we go. And whoever made the determination that the government in particular should be responsible for paying our health bills. It's a system of death is what it is, rather than the free market system. I'm running out of time here. Somebody jump in here.
Great, great. Great angle. I'll be honest with you, I had not thought about the sinful nature of man and how it has exploded the healthcare cost.
Sure.
That's incredible.
Hey, JR, people going to drug treatment, alcohol treatment, that's being paid by medical insurance.
Yep.
And so we need to say to them, listen, you can have as much sex with men as you want to, but here's what your rates are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And charge them accordingly. This is somebody help me here. Don't they call that high risk insurance?
Yeah, it's like auto insurance. If you've had a DWI or you've had a wreck.
Yeah. We don't even think twice about it, do we? You go out and get drunk driving once, your insurance rates skyrocket. Well, if you go out and have anal sex with a guy, your insurance ought to skyrocket. That's what I say. Anybody disagree with me? But see, we don't have the political will to do it, as we saw from the video. It's all politics now. It's all politics. Because why? We no longer talk about the soul, the spirit, about being able to control yourself, about being able to resist the devil, about being able to say no to sin. We don't even talk about that anymore. We say, go do whatever you want to do. Who am I to judge? You have fun. You go do whatever you want to, and then send me the bill, and we'll pay it. Pay for it. Well, I think most Americans are kind of sick of that. And I don't know if Trump's going to pull it off, Paul Ryan and those scumbags in there. I don't know if they'll do what's right. Just eliminate the whole daggone thing, and let's start over. All start over. What if the churches? Wow.
Hey, you know
what if the churches, hired a doctor that would come by and do free checkups one day a week at the church? Wow. Yeah, Larry.
You know, I don't know about the other states. There may be others like South Carolina, but one blessing, the fact that South Carolina legislators don't even read their own constitution when they take office anymore.
I believe that.
Is that there is a provision in the South Carolina constitution that clearly states that the state of South Carolina is responsible for the health care of, get this, not every citizen in the state, but every resident in the state. Now, if that were common knowledge, South Carolina would be bankrupt tomorrow, because people will be flocking here to take up residence, and then the state would be responsible for their health care for the rest of their lives. And that's in the Constitution.
Wow. That's amazing, Larry. So again, see, we have lost our moral authority. The church has lost its moral authority because we won't call sin sin, and we won't force sinners to suffer the consequences of their sin. See, folks, excuse me, I'm struggling here. Jesus, when he died on that cross, he took away the punishment of your sin, took it away from me. He paid the price so that when I leave this world, I can go to the next world and be in relationship, have eternal life with the Lord. If I go out and I begin to have butt sex with a bunch of men, and I develop AIDS, the Lord can forgive me of that sin, but he doesn't cancel the consequences of it. I can die and go to heaven. How do I say it? Because of what I did physically. But my spirit, my soul can live on. In the church, we've eliminated the consequences of sin. Totally, completely eliminated it under greasy grace. God's okay with it. He loves you just the way. And then people say, well, God, if God is real, God's true, why does he let good things happen, bad things happen to good people? Well, it's simple. There ain't no good people. There's none righteous. No, not one. No, in this life that we live, isn't about this life. It's not about the next one. It's about eternal life. And you can talk about being in hell and burning forever in hell and eternal damnation in hell. I said to my wife the other day, you know what the greatest punishment of hell is? It's eternal separation from God. That everything else would pale. And I'm not worried about hellfire. I'm worried about the eternal separation from all things good. That in itself. It's punishment enough. But the church doesn't love people enough to tell them the truth. The church loves them in their physical state rather than being concerned about their eternal struggle and their eternal salvation. We've met the enemy, and it is us. Just got a minute or two here. Anybody want to help me wrap it up?
Our people perish for lack of knowledge.
That's right,
brother. Anybody anything about what the consequences of our lifestyles are, and we haven't told anybody how to change the lifestyle.
That's right. You're judgmental and you're bigoted if you tell somebody to stop doing that. Stop doing that. Stop doing that. No. Who are you to judge? Stop judging me. Let me do whatever I want to. Say, okay, go ahead and have butt sex, but I'm going to tell you, your premiums are going to skyrocket, bud. I mean, what else do you say?
Eternal.
I can't. What's that?
Eternal premiums.
Eternal premiums. I can't make you come to Jesus, but your life, all of our lives will be a lot easier if you live by the principles of Jesus. If we put him back into place, those laws, those restraining laws, if we put those back in place, we'd have a lot better, healthier society, and we wouldn't have nearly the health issues and the financial issues that we have in America today. Hey, boys, we got us a big, big job ahead of us. But ignoring and avoiding the truth isn't going to make it any easier. Anybody else? It's all good.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, the hope from my end is, you know, back in the day in Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah, Jesus drained the swamp. Mm. And he's going to do it again.
Yes, he is.
And the church doesn't realize that. They think it's all up to him. We're going to speak the truth until Jesus drains the swamp.
Amen, brother. That's our call to do it. This idea, who are you to judge? And don't be so judgmental. As I said before, Jesus is the judge. The judge pronounces the sentence. I'm simply the witness. I'm not judging you. I'm witnessing to you what's going to happen to you if you keep doing it. I'm a witness. I'm not a judge. I'm a witness presenting evidence in a court. Jesus is going to judge you. God bless you. We'll see you all tomorrow.